Next, we have a talk from someone very, very special. She's come all the way from Portadown, can you believe it? her name is Beth Hahn. So I've known Beth since I was probably 16, maybe younger than that. And Beth is definitely one of those women in my lives that is a spiritual mother, mentor kind of figure. So I'm really excited for what she is going to share today, because she was one of the women that kind of encouraged me to even speak for the first time in front of anyone. And has been praying and different things for me throughout my life. So I just love to invite Beth up now. So Beth is going to come and give us our talk today. So invite Beth up, a warm welcome. And before Beth speaks, I'll just say a quick prayer for her. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Beth. God, we thank you that she is a mother and a sister and a mentor and a youth leader and a teacher and all these things. God, but thank you more than anything. God, she is your child. She is your daughter. And we just pray that you would be with her as she speaks to us today. God, that you would give us open ears, God, open hearts and open minds to hear the words that you have to say to us as she opens up the Bible, God, that we would leave with a deeper understanding of you as our Father, and who also protects and loves and nurtures us as well, God. So just be with us now, God. Pray that your Holy Spirit would join us and move in us today. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today. It's an honour to be here. So my name is Beth. I am a teacher from the lovely land of Portadown. And I have three little girls. I'm married to Mark, and I have three little girls called Emily, Lottie and Aidan. And I'm not sure about anybody else, but I got the wake-up call at about 6:15 this morning to say Happy Mother's Day. So Happy Mother's Day to you all. And what I would like to start with, we've been playing quite a few games this morning. Would anybody like to tell me what their favourite game is? Okay. Hide and seek, that's my favourite too. Anybody else have a favourite game? Yes, call it out. Princesses, brilliant game. Yeah, I'd say there's a good few with that one. Anybody else? Uno. Uno's a good one, isn't it? It's a good one for a rainy day in the caravan. Anybody like Monopoly? Yeah, although it's the game that never really ends, does it? Until someone has to go to the toilet and they're afraid of everybody thinking they're going to cheat, and so everybody ends the game. I definitely love games. I love the same as... what's your name down here who told me you loved hide and seek? Ellie. Same as Ellie, I love hide and seek. It's my absolute favourite. And personally, I actually think it's God's favourite game, and I'll tell you why in a wee while. But if you're playing hide and seek, where would be your best place to hide, do you think? In your mummy's cupboard, okay? Well, maybe some of you are not going to tell me, though, because then people will know where you're going to hide, isn't that right? That's it. Locked in the bathroom. Yeah, I think some dads love that game too. But whenever I was young, I used to absolutely love playing hide and seek. And I would hide in the most obscure places that you wouldn't think of. So a kitchen cupboard, I would lift something out and crawl in. And then Mum would open the kitchen cupboard and I would scare her. She didn't love that game. Or under the stairs, right in the bit, right behind the Hoover, where nobody really looks anymore. Always the awkward but brilliant places to scare somebody or to jump out. In fact, once I hid in a cardboard box that I think a car seat or something had come in, and it was just so cozy and warm in there that I fell asleep. And 3 hours later, my mum and dad freaking out because they couldn't find me and I had been in this cardboard box the whole time. What about Where's Wally? Has anybody ever done a Where's Wally book? We've got to try and find him. They're really good too, aren't they? Well, do you know what? There's actually somebody that you guys know pretty well who's a bit of a Wally. And he was playing hide and seek with me today. And I actually couldn't find him, so I had to give up. Has anybody seen Simon? Can anybody find him? Boys and girls, could you help me find Simon? He's definitely hiding here somewhere. I just don't know where. Has anybody seen him? You may look under your chairs. Anybody got anybody weird sitting beside him? Oh, there's a cough down here. Is he down here? Can anybody see? There? Oh my goodness, what is he doing? Would you mind just pulling that off his head? Has he fallen asleep? Could we call him? Simon! definitely a bit of a Wally. Well, do you know what? This morning, I am going to tell you a story about a lady who always wore her apron like that. Isn't that a really weird way to wear it? Normally, we put it round our waist when we're trying to protect our clothes, but she used to put it up over her head all the time. And she was born a really, really long time ago in 1669. And if we could maybe have the second slide up, her name was Susanna. So this is Susanna Wesley, and she came from a family that had 25 children. After three children, I think 25 must have been absolute chaos. I can imagine the games that they played together. And Susanna grew up in a household with a mum and dad who really loved God, and they devoted themselves to following Christ. In fact, Susanna's father decided at the age of five that he would read 20 chapters of the Bible every single day. Isn't that amazing devotion? So Susanna grew up in this household where she got to watch the example of faith that her parents had. Now, while we're on talking about games, hands up if you have a PlayStation or an Xbox or a Nintendo or any of those kind of games. Yeah. Do we like those ones? I loved Super Mario as a child, and I would have been one of those ones that if I had sat down in front of the computer screen, somebody would have had to put a timer on. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stopped playing. I would have just been so addicted to it. And when Susanna was young, she decided that she was always going to give God more time than she would give her hobbies. So if she spent an hour doing her hobbies, she would promised God that she would spend an hour praying and in the Bible with him. So she really loved God, and she loved learning about him, and she loved spending time with him. And her mum and dad really encouraged her to take a really good look at what the Bible was telling her. And they used to have discussions with her, and they would say, Susanna, don't just believe what we believe because we believe it. You have to get into God's word and learn about God for yourself. That's really, really important that you have a relationship with God. And so Susanna actually was pretty stubborn. She took this to heart, and she used to ask lots of questions about God. She was pretty stubborn and pretty headstrong. And so God had given her this heart to get to know him, to be really determined to spend time with him, regardless of the challenges that were in her life. And I think that if Susanna was playing hide and seek, she would have been impossible to find. I think, in fact, if she was finding, that she would have easily found all those other 24 children. And so when she was older, she grew up and she had 19 children herself. She got married, 10 of which made it into adulthood. And so at times, life was tough in the chaos of these busy families, but Susanna was still determined to put God first. Now, I don't know about any of the aunties or older sisters or mums or Sunday school leaders or people in the room who get to care for children, but sometimes they're a wee bit of a handful, aren't they? Yes, thank you. Although children, you might be thinking some of these adults are a bit of a handful. But I have three lovely girls and they are wonderful. But this week they were driving me a little bit mental. And I decided to put on a timer and see, right, how many questions are they going to ask me in 2 minutes? Right? So if we could have the next slide up. Right? One of these is the correct answer for how many questions I was asked in just 2 minutes. Okay, you might consider this poor parenting, but if you have the answer, you can tell me after of how I stopped the questions. What do you think the answer was? Do you think my girls asked me, and you can put your hand up, 17 questions in 2 minutes? Okay, B, 5 questions? That's faith. And C, 48? Yeah, it was actually A, although there are definitely days where we could get to 48. And some of the questions, just little questions like, Mum, can you fill my water bottle? My youngest mum, Gokala, she's just discovered chocolate. Gokala, always at the cupboard, Gokala. Mum, can I have something to eat? Mum, where's my shoe? Mum, you know when I'm older, can I have 15 hamsters? I don't know where that one came from. And sometimes just, Mum, what, darling? Oh, no, you just want to say my name. Okay. So I often, as I was reading this story about Susanna, I really started to wonder, how did she actually get anything done with that many children, with that many little people to look after? And do you know what she did? Exactly what Simon did. She put her apron up over her head. And any time she wanted to spend really deliberate, intentional time with God, she would put her apron up over her head, and her children knew that she was spending time praying, spending time in God's word, spending time with him first and foremost. And often they would come down in the morning, and she would have had the breakfast ready, sitting on the table, but she was sitting in a chair with her apron over her head, and they knew not to interrupt, that Susanna was spending time with God. And now, it wasn't all easy and smooth. She faced lots of challenges. In fact, her husband was away quite regularly. He would have been preaching in other places. He was a minister. And she would have been sick quite a lot. And not once did her house burn down, but twice. In fact, the second time her house burned down, her son John almost didn't make it out. And some of the older folks might have heard of John Wesley. And I just think of the example that Susanna was, that not even her last son, even though she had nine, those were all important and significant children, that she was determined herself to get to know God, and she was also determined to help her children know God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And so he continued to talk with Susanna each day under that apron, even in all of that chaos. And there was once when her husband had gone away, Susanna would start to take her young people and her children around the kitchen table, and she would teach them a little bit more about him, about God. And then some of the folks that worked for their family would come, and they would join the table too, and they would learn a little bit about God. And one time, her kitchen table was so full of people wanting to know about Christ that she actually had to teach out of the window because the kitchen table and the kitchen itself was so full. Has anybody ever heard of the game Sardines? Yes, it's like hide and seek, except you have to get into big clumps. And I reckon that's what their kitchen was like, because once it was said that there were over 200 people at their home to know about God. I just love that example of Susanna, because sometimes I think we have to be maybe a trained minister, or we have to go off to Bible college to encourage other people in their faith. Or maybe if we're young, we might think, oh, we'll have to wait until we're older. But God used Susanna all through her life, from she was little till she was much older, just as much as he can use us. He gave her that passion and determination, motivation as a child that stuck with her as an adult to see his kingdom here on earth, not just in her family, but in the village around them and the world beyond. He gave her the ability to share God's plan to save us through the death and the resurrection of his son Jesus, that her friends and her neighbors and her family might know Jesus' rule and reign in their daily lives, that he would transform their lives with his love and grace. Two of Susanna's sons, Charles and John, went on to be pretty famous evangelists because they had been shown that really godly example in their mum. They had the opportunity not just to know about God, but to know the reality of God in their lives. So this morning, to the older folks, can I encourage you that those small, simple things that you do around your kitchen table are really, really important? Can I encourage you that those conversations that you have with others in your workplace are really, really important? You may have heard of the phrase, to not despise the day of the small things. Sometimes those small things, like throwing up your apron over your head, can actually speak volumes to your family around you. You see, if Susanna was here right now, I would tell her to turn her apron round, wear it like a cape. Because of how she served others in a really, really ordinary way. She was a bit like a superhero. Someone once said that God uses ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes, and I believe that to be true. She once said that she was content to fill a little space if God be glorified. And that's why we do everything that we do for people around us, because we want to see God glorified. She invited God into her heart, into that little space underneath her apron, invited him into all of her life and her ordinary kitchen table so that her friends and family would know his glory. And that's where our challenge is today. I wonder, are we willing to commit our ordinariness to God? Are we willing to give God our ordinary places and spaces? If you know the story of the impact that Susanna had on her sons and the impact her sons went on to have in the world, Are you willing to give God your ordinary that he might use it for his extraordinary purposes? Whether that be your desk at school, maybe it's your walk on the golf course with your friends on a Thursday morning. Maybe it's your phone call. Maybe it's your game of Monopoly with a friend. Your kitchen table. Your life so that others might get to know God. If you know that God created everything, which hopefully you know, then you'll know that he created hide and seek. And I maintain that I think that this is his favourite game. And if we could have the last slide up. Jeremiah 29 verses 12 to 14 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, God promises us that we can find him, that we can have life in all its fullness in him. Let's seek God for ourselves. I was really blessed to have the opportunity to be in your prayer meeting this morning. And someone said, and someone prayed for revival. So let's seek God for your church, for Dallingstown and Marilyn. Let's seek God for Northern Ireland. Let's think bigger than our kitchen tables, but that's where it can start, can't it? Let's seek God for ourselves. Let's read his word. Let's pray and let's invite his Holy Spirit into our daily walks and our ordinary acts. Let's be a people who encourage others to come to do the same so that the King of Kings may receive all the glory. I don't know how big your kitchen table is. When we first got married, we went to IKEA to buy a kitchen table. And I made the rookie error of not measuring my kitchen. And I saw this big, beautiful table that I thought, oh my goodness, that would be amazing to have loads of people over for dinner. And so it was in, you know, the wee bargain section. Has anybody ever seen that in IKEA? And so the man says, oh, you can have it for this price, but you need to take it today. But we could get it delivered for you. And I said, okay, yeah, let's buy it. And then we got home and I measured the kitchen and started to panic. Is this kitchen table going to fit? Thankfully, it arrived on the Monday, and you can kind of just about do this around our kitchen table at home. But my challenge to you this morning is to invite someone for dinner, okay? Or invite someone for a cup of coffee. Invite them to sit at your kitchen table and share your story with them. Share your story of how God has transformed your life and how God has worked in your life, that they might get to see and meet our wonderful King of Kings. You might not be able to fit 200 at your table like Susanna Wesley. But maybe you could start with yourself, determined to seek God underneath your apron, and then invite another two. I'd like to close by praying for us all. And I'm going to use some of the words from Psalm 119. And I'm using words from the Message paraphrase. And if you believe these words echo for you, will you pray along with me and say amen at the end? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for loving each wonderfully ordinary person here. God, teach us lessons for living so that we can stay the course with you. Thank you for those kingdom women today, in particular in our lives, who help teach us your ways. God, give us insights so we can do what you tell us. Our whole lives one long, obedient response. Guide us, God, down the road of your commandments. Give us an appetite for your words of wisdom. And Father, let your love shape our lives with salvation exactly as you promised. Then we can tell the world what we find. Thank you, God, for who you are and who we can be in you. Amen.